From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And welcome to this Wednesday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, producer of this show, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, today marks the 74th anniversary of D-Day. Over 160,000 troops from America, Britain, Canada, France, Poland, and other nations landed along a 50-mile stretch of the Normandy coast of France. It was the largest ambiguous invasion force in world history, supported by 5,000 ships with 195,700 Navy personnel and 13,000 aircraft. Listen here as General Eisenhower talks about what's about to happen.
Soldiers, sailors and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely.
This is the backdrop as we see potential fallout if the Department of Justice Inspector General's report concludes Jim Comey's defied authority as FBI director. Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas will be here to weigh in on that latest news. And primary elections were held in 8 states yesterday. What might the results mean for the November general elections? Was there a blue wave that some predicted, or did get tinted a little bit? Connor McGuire, senior strategist of WPA Intelligence, will be here with his analysis. And a Delaware regulation would have allowed students to self-identify gender and race without parents' permission. But it's been revised. Parents must now give their okay. But many issues still remain. Nicole Feese, president and executive director of Delaware Family Policy Council, will be here with the details on that. And of course, later in the show, we will take your calls. All of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at R. Jones Reports. Well, a new report finds the Department of Justice internal watchdog finds fired FBI Director James Comey engaged in, quote, insubordinate behavior. The draft of the not-yet-released report was apparently leaked. With us now is Representative Louis Gohmert. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Texas. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee and the Natural Resources Committee, and he received his undergraduate degree from Texas A&M University, where he acquired a 4-year active duty commitment to the Army from an Army scholarship where he was the brigade commander in the Corps. Representative Louis Gohmert, welcome back to Washington Watch. It's been a while.
It has been a while, but it is superb to talk to you again. I miss you, my brother.
Well, we miss you too, and Tony sends his greetings.
Thank you.
Taking some R&R and time yep. off with his family.
Yep, and a lovely family it is. Loved getting to know his family. What you would expect him to have. But yeah,
absolutely.
We got a lot going on here in Washington, and there are a couple of things that are good, but there's a lot that's not. So
well,
anyway,
Let's talk about the good here in just a little bit. But first, this latest news that's coming out, this report that apparently was leaked. It hasn't been officially released. But is this long overdue, and is it going anywhere?
Well, it is long overdue, and that's been one of my concerns. And there were so many Republicans that were putting all of their hope, not in Jesus, but in an IG report from a guy who is known Democrat, and you've had people, Tony's had people that say, oh, this is going to be, we need to wait for this report, this is going to be the best thing, it's going to really expose everything. And I'm going, guys, you know, if you learn anything from the history of the last few years of the Justice Department, IGs have changed IG reports, they've covered up things. I don't know that we can stake our whole future in this IG report. And, of course, what's been leaked out today is that Comey appeared to be insubordinate. Well, big shocker there, but it doesn't matter what words you use to modify who he is or what his position is. What matters is, are people going to be held accountable? And an IG report cannot hold anyone accountable. It takes action beyond that. And, you know, it seems pretty clear if you look at Mueller's history, which, of course, is the best indicator of future conduct, that Mueller has a history of deciding that somebody's a bad person and then working his heart out to find some kind of crime to pin on them, even if it's not a legitimate crime, even if there's evidence fabricated, as there was with Ted Stevens, or evidence totally exonerating, as there was with Ted Stevens, you still go after them and you destroy them, or like Mueller did with Dr. Stephen Hatfield, who he told Bush was going, but there's no evidence that he's the anthrax killer. And Mueller said, no, I'm 100% certain that he is. He proceeded to destroy his life, his friendships with people, his neighbor relationships, his working relationships. And as one of our FBI agents has said, Mueller destroys your employment. He destroys your employability. He will bankrupt you using all of the government's resources. And then when it turns out he got the wrong guy and the person's not guilty of what he came after him for, he never apologizes. That's not a good record.
Now, we're also hearing about Andrew McCabe seeking immunity. Why would he do that?
Well, if I were Andrew McCabe, and God help me that I never will be, but I would be scrambling and begging for immunity to testify as well. There's no question he has a lot of information about improprieties at the Justice Department because he was right in the middle of a bunch of them. And that includes the investigation into Russia's illegal efforts to get our uranium, which Rosenstein, Mueller, and Weissman and Comey, if any of those names sound familiar, they were involved with that little issue. And Rosenstein, Mueller, Weissman made sure that the quash was put on information that might come out about that, because if it had come out how much in the way of illegal efforts Russia was trying to pursue in order to get U.S. uranium, then the Commission on Foreign Investments in the United States, CFIUS, they would have had to vote down the sale of our uranium that was going to end up in Russian hands. And if they had done that, then Hillary and Bill would not have gotten $145 million contributed by those beneficiaries, stockholders, to the Clinton Foundation. And probably Bill would not have gotten $500,000 to come give a speech. And now, as Bill Clinton was saying recently, they left the White House $16 million in debt, and supposedly they're worth hundreds of millions now. Gee, didn't they use public office for their own benefits? Just amazing.
Right. Well, and elsewhere in the report, we're hearing that former Attorney General Loretta Lynch is said to be criticized for her Justice Department's handling of the Clinton investigation, including her controversial 2016 meeting with Bill Clinton on the tarmac. So,
yeah.
You know, I know you didn't sign up for all this drama when you ran for office and wanted to go to Capitol Hill, but boy, it's just dripping with it, isn't it?
It really is. But this is so serious. This is going to determine whether or not we can get rid of the Justice Department that is weaponized and corrupt at the very top, not across the country, but in these top positions. And I don't know, the current director, Ray, seems like a nice guy. I'm afraid he's in over his head. He still thinks that everybody that has been working over there is just first class, and thinks the world of Rosenstein and Mueller and Comey. So, you know, he doesn't see that anything's wrong. At least he hadn't admitted to seeing any wrong in all of these terrible wrongdoing that's gone on. So it's just a big question. Are we going to be able to capture this country back? Or is it going to continue until it takes out Trump and it takes out any hope of getting us off this track to being a third world banana republic?
And you studied law in Texas A&M. By the way, I went to Mizzou. We both came into the SEC at the same time.
Well, I got a degree in history. I owed the Army 4 years from a scholarship at Texas A&M, but I went to law school at Baylor Law School. I just love it. What a great law school. Just incredible.
Let me ask you this. Is insubordinate, that's the term that's in here,
not
in quotes.
A crime.
Is that a legal term? What is that?
It is a legal term in the UCMJ, in the military. It is a crime in the military to be insubordinate, but it's not a crime under 18 USC to be insubordinate. It's maybe give rise to an employment decision, but it does not give rise to being put in jail. And, you know, that's kind of like when Comey comes out and says, Hillary didn't have any intent. Well, in the law he was talking about, intent wasn't required. But it as far as insubordinate, that does have an element of intent. But unfortunately, it's not a crime unless you're in the military.
Now, what else are you working on? We've heard the president talking about immigration, continuing to try to push that agenda.
Well, that's a little
scary. Even
with
all the
people constantly asking, you know, aren't you willing to make a deal on the people that are here? And I say, I've never wavered on this. Once the border is secure, we can work something out on the people that are here, who stays, who goes. But every time anybody in Washington says anything about legal status, DACA, any type of amnesty, anything of that nature, then we have another huge surge across our border, which we're currently having because of all this talk in Washington about an immigration vote and DACA vote and all that. So they're surging across the border. And we have got to stop dangling this shiny object. It's like if you have a swimming pool in your backyard, and you don't put a fence around it and a child comes in and drowns in your pool, then you will get sued and most likely be held liable because you have what's called an attractive nuisance and you should have put a wall or a fence around it so people wouldn't come in to their detriment. Well, there are thousands and thousands of people that are come in. Some get roped into sex slavery. Many get sucked into the drug trafficking. I've been down there many times when, even though it wasn't on the form, and the questions
Congressman,
to be asked.
We're up against our own wall.
But they say, hey, the drug cartels are going to let me work off the rest of my fee where I get to in the U.S. It's dangerous.
Thank you
time.
So much. We're up against the clock. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, we'll talk with Connor McGuire, senior strategist at WPA Intelligence, about the elections yesterday.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Have you ever wondered how your cell phone company is spending your hard-earned money? For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, your money will only be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. Patriot Mobile is offering unlimited talk, text, and data at better prices than anything you can get from Big Mobile. More importantly, up to 5% of your monthly bill goes specifically to support conservative causes at no additional cost to you. You get the same nationwide coverage with unlimited talk, text, and data for a better price. Right now, unlimited talk and text starts at $20 a month. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. To switch, call 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. Past speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
Tuned in to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. If you're missing this or you're not able to listen to the whole show or you want to listen as you're out for a walk tonight, maybe go to tonyperkins.com. You can download the entire show. All of that great content is there. It's good to be with you here today. Well, primary voters went to the polls yesterday in 8 states, and both parties were claiming victory. But was there a big blue wave, as some predicted? The November 6th midterm elections will determine who maintains control in the U.S. House and Senate. Joining us now is Connor McGuire, senior strategist at WPA Intelligence. Connor, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, let's first take a look at California, where Democrats have hoped the so-called jungle primary would give them a leg up on their efforts to win back control in the House of Representatives. So what did California look like?
Yeah, so California is, you know, very interesting. And last night was, you know, a great look at it. The thing with California is great. They said they have the jungle primary. So the best vote getters, too, doesn't matter what party, go on to the general election. And what we saw there was, over the last few months in this cycle, that every Democrat jumped in the race because they thought it was their time. They thought the enthusiasm was with them. But when it comes down to it, didn't really see anything really big happen. Yes, they secured a position in each one of their target seats on the ballot, but it doesn't really seem like they had this big blue wave of turnout. Turnout looked pretty standard compared to past midterms. But, you know, they did get their people on the ballot, which is something, but it cost them a lot of money. They spent a ton of money just to make sure they could even have someone on a ballot in a lot of these target races.
That is like $7 million, I think. That's a ton of cash. Now, in the governor's race, Republicans did pretty good.
They did. Governor's race, that's a big win for Republicans. I think it's a place that now there is going to be some excitement at the top of the ticket. I think it really does a great job for some of our congressional races down in Southern California, looking at 48, 49, 39. Some of these districts that have been left vacant, now there needs to be some excitement. And with the governor's race in play and John Cox doing well, winning Southern California, winning Orange County, does really good for excitement and chances of holding on to these seats that Democrats are going to spend a lot of money to try to take. But I think Republicans are going to be able to hold strong.
Now, Senator Roger Wicker easily won his primary race in Mississippi. What about next to Mississippi and Alabama? That was kind of interesting for Representative Roby.
Absolutely. And there's one, you know, like I said, this election is going to be very volatile. It's been volatile the whole time. But I think there's kind of one standard that we can look at is the influence of President Trump on these campaigns, on these elections. And taking a look at Alabama, they had some, you know, really big turnout for Republicans, you know, about a 30% increase of Republicans turning out from the 2014 cycle. So you have a lot of people that are excited. And when we go back and forth and talk about who has the excitement, the Republicans, Democrats in this blue wave, you got to also remember that Republicans are turning out in huge numbers too. Previous, you know, primary nights in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio all had massive increases in Republican primary voters. So we're seeing this kind of swing back and forth, but definitely seeing Republicans are energized. And as we get close to the election and closer to that understanding of what happens if Democrats take the House in terms of the impeachment processes, I think Republicans, Trump supporters are going to come out strong.
And what you're referring to is Martha Roby. She wasn't a big Trump supporter, and she failed to clear the threshold, half of the vote necessary to avoid a runoff. So she's going to be facing Bobby Bright in the runoff in the state's second congressional district there. And Mo Brooks of Huntsville, he won his GOP nomination. So Republicans had a big night in Alabama, a busy night, as you said, and Congressman Anderholt, he won his primary, 12th yeah. term.
And looking across the rest of the country, taking a look up into Montana, we've had turnout increase there for Republicans by about 20%. So you've got a lot of people there excited to get Tester out. So I know there's a lot of focus on the House right now, because you know that's kind of the battleground where Democrats are spending a lot of money and think they can make some moves. But the Senate, Republicans are really in a great position to even pick up seats. And seeing this increased turnout in Montana definitely leads to the fact that people are excited to send Tester on his way.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens in California. You know, I've got family out there, and I think the gas tax may be playing a role there in a negative way. Gas is like $5 a gallon in California.
Exactly. So the gas tax, the increase just kicked in, and people are not happy. You're already looking at very expensive gas, and then a new tax was passed a little while back, but now it's kicked in, and now you've got voters really upset about how much it just cost to fill up the tank. And so there's going to be a lot of people, you know, looking at that and understanding the types of people they want in passing laws and governing them. And I really feel this is another really, you know, 1-2 punch with having a Republican in the gubernatorial race and this gas tax issue looming is going to be a great turnout factor for Republicans.
And you know something really interesting? I was doing some research on this earlier today. 70 former Obama campaign and administration staff members are running for state and local offices, according to the Obama Alumni Association, a volunteer group. I had no idea there was that that group. But 70, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. I think that really goes to taking a look at the 2017 specials and how, you know, there was taking a look at the votes that were cast compared to those districts in the past, and kind of appeared Democrats had about a 15-point enthusiasm advantage over Republicans. And so every Democrat thinks it's their time and they can jump in the race and win a district and win office. And the fact of the matter is they can't, because you've got a president that's, you know, passing laws and right. doing what he said he was going to do, and you've got an economy that's doing very well. And I think that this kind of excitement of that was the Barack Obama years for a lot of these you know, Democrat campaign staffers, they haven't really caught on to things have changed, and people really need results right now.
Well, Connor McGuire, thank you. We're out of time. Appreciate you coming on. Good analysis. Appreciate it. We'll have to get you back on the show. Well, coming up next, Delaware's Department of Education has revised a regulation that now requires parents' permission before a student can self-identify their gender. We'll talk with Nicole Thies, President and Executive Director of Delaware Family Policy Council, when we return.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television and social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is not true? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate challenging topics in human sexuality. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT. For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-A-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com. If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins on this Wednesday afternoon. And all this great content, make sure you can go check it out, TonyPerkins.com. You can download all of this, all of the shows. They're all archived there. You can share them with your friends. And I don't know if you know it, this show is growing. It's in 250 stations across the United States. It's become a very important radio program in the political space, where we bring you news a lot of times and perspectives that you just frankly don't get in a lot of other media platforms. And it's like this story here. Regulation 225 would allow children as young as 5 years old to self-identify their gender and or race without parents' knowledge, until a recent revision that requires a parent's permission. Well, with us now is Nicole Thies. She's President and Executive Director of Delaware Family Policy Council. And I know she's been in the Senate there in Delaware and took a minute to join us. Nicole, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on with you today. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you to come here and come on with us and help folks understand what's going on. So Regulation 225, as I said, would allow children, these stories, Nicole, today we're honoring D-Day, when people died for our freedoms, and here we're talking about five-year-olds being given permission or not permission to self-identify their gender and their race. It's just unbelievable. So they went back, and apparently a lot of parents spoke out on this, and you were part of the driving force there. Tell us about it.
Well, we were shocked, just as anybody would be, to see that this regulation actually made it out, that there was no age listed. So it was really, it was open-ended. So
really?
So that means that children at any age could self-determine their gender, and their race, and parents would need to know about it. The school would talk with the student and determine if the parent was an ally or not. And if whoever that was representing the school or the agent of the state, if they decided that maybe it was better for that child to not tell their parents, or they didn't have to. So that was one issue. The second issue is with instruction material and how regulations like this that are really being implemented across the nation, how it, the kind of positioning that instructional material is now put in. So basically, if there's anything taught in instructional material that maybe speaks to the traditional roles of gender or basically brings up anything other than gender fluidity ideology, then it's considered discriminatory. So that's a real problem, and that really creates the open door for all of this curriculum and outside people and organizations coming in to talk to children about changing their identity. And we know that that's happening in Delaware already, so even without the regulation. But that definitely really throws the door open to where parents won't be able to go and object to that because it's now part of this regulation.
Just to clarify, this regulation did not involve parents, but it was revised, is that right? So now it requires a parent's permission, is that right?
Well, it's very interesting language because that's true. The child cannot formally and I guess officially change their name and their gender without parental permission, but the school still will consult the student first and have that very private conversation about gender without parents knowing, and they will ask the student, do you give us permission to talk to your parents about this so that we can make this official? And the school is still in a position where they're between the child and the parent, and they are making the assessment and determination as to how much the parent really knows about this. And
right.
Then they can make the determination. Yes. Yeah. So it's not all that much better, but
no.
The conversation.
So this is really about parental rights, though. Isn't this really about parental rights?
Well, it is. Fundamentally, it is about parental rights. And the school or the agent of the school thinking that they know better at that moment and really locking these kids into this confusion and leaving parents out of it. You know, parents, the people who love these children more than anybody on the planet, leaving them out of the equation to help support these children through this. And so many, many people agree and feel that we already have an anti-discrimination policy. We already have a very robust bullying policy. So if this policy is not going to protect the privacy of all students, and that's a different issue that we haven't covered, but if it's not going to do that, then it's just not necessary. So that's where we are today, and we're asking people to still make comment. We have a 30-day window. We're probably down to 25 days now where the public can make comment, and we've made that very easy and available on our website, which is DelawareFamilies.org.
Nicole, I know you're monitoring something there in the Senate. Do you have a minute to hold on and come back, or do you need to go?
No, we're good. Yep.
Okay. We're talking with Nicole Thies, President and Executive Director of Delaware Family Policy Council, about Regulation 225 kids being able to self-identify their gender. We're going to keep this conversation going for a few minutes, and then we're going to take your calls. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? Are you looking for more internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If you answered yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Since the 2016 election, faith, family, and freedom are on the move in America. Can values voters keep the momentum going in November? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand with our leaders and fight for our values. To join this noble mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. And join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. You'll also find plenty of networking opportunities with attendees and organizations that share a Christian worldview on issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and national security. On September 21st to 23rd, stand with Values Voters to restore our great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
For years, big money has flowed from big mobile carriers to liberals fighting to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. With Patriot Mobile, a portion of your bill will be used to support conservative organizations like Family Research Council Action. And as an exclusive FRC Action offer, get a free $50 credit with a 24-month contract when you use promo code FRCA18. Call now 1-800-APATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com.
And third, heading towards home. It's Wednesday. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And we're talking with Nicole Tice. She's president and executive director of Delaware Family Policy Council. And Nicole, thanks for hanging on and coming back here, talking about Regulation 225 and whether students can or cannot determine their own sexual identity and race without their parents' permission in the Delaware schools. Nicole, thanks for hanging in there. Now, I was looking at some social media sites, and typically, I think many, and I could be wrong, think of Delaware as being more of a liberal state, but it looked like there were parents on both sides of the political aisle that really, really did not care for this regulation. Did I read that right?
Yes, absolutely. We were stunned. I have to tell you, we had never seen an issue that was so unifying than this issue regarding parental rights and the school stepping in between, you know, parent and student on something so sensitive and of such significant weight than having a conversation, you know, with somebody's child about their gender and their race. So, yeah, we were blown away by that response. And every radio show interview that we did, I mean, the phones would just light up for hours. People just kept wanting to talk about it. So we were able to generate by now over 9,000 comments through our website. We had so many people that were wonderful in locking arms with us and just driving everyone to our website to make it very easy to send a comment to the Department of Education. And it really worked, and it was over a holiday season. So really, we had 2.5 to 3 weeks to try to get the word out. So, yeah, to your point, exactly, it's unifying. And we were it was very refreshing to see that.
Well, you know, there isn't hardly a week that goes by, Nicole, that we don't hear of another story where we hear about the extreme left ideology pushing its agenda. And it's happening in the very ripe environment of our educational institutions, both lower educational, grade schools, middle schools, high schools, and in our universities. And you are seeing this right there.
Yes. We encourage parents, if you have any children or grandchildren, nieces and nephews in the public school system, to be really aware and asking those students about who is coming into the classroom and what they're teaching. And, I mean, because we're hearing reports all the time of I just heard a report yesterday, just for example, one of our high schools, that they're bringing somebody in weekly to talk about how to change your gender. They're not talking about suicide. They're not talking about depression. And some of these big issues that kids really deal with and lead to all sorts of problems.
In one of your high schools, Delaware.
Yes. So we had another organization come through called the Yes Organization, and they were coming through out of Florida, but they were making the rounds to middle schools, and they were doing a presentation under the whole bullying umbrella, and they were talking about how to change your gender, and they had what looked to be a man with a beard presenting who was really a woman and revealed that at the end, who could still get pregnant but considered himself to be a heterosexual male. That's how he was, this person was presenting to the audience. So it was really hard to wrap your mind around, but the goal was to just break down anything that even remotely would resemble, we were made male or we were made female. And this complete rejection of that foundational truth. So it is in the schools, and we do encourage parents, again, to be aware and ask the questions. And if something should happen in a school, encourage your children to find out who is it, who's speaking, what class did it happen in, so that the parent can follow up and find out exactly who was allowed access into the classroom. And then partner with your family policy council there on the ground, which is we're present in almost every state, to really get the word out about what's happening and what can be done about it.
Now, the public has till July 6th there to comment. Is that right? And then what?
That's correct. And so they're going to look at the comments again. And really, it's up to them. I mean, they can reject the comments and say, we're going to go with it anyway, or they can maybe go back and try to fix a couple things, or they could mix it all together, but we're not sure what they're going to do. But they are very determined to implement their policy and get it into the school system by the new school year.
Well, Nicole, thank you for hanging here with us and coming on. This is such a critical issue. We appreciate what you're doing out there in your own battle there, and please keep us informed with what's going on.
Oh, we will, and thank you so much for your encouragement and support, just of the whole team, and just being willing to help us, and without even being prompted or asked, just, hey, how can we help? We so much appreciate the team there and the whole ministry, and we say to you, please keep going, because you and what's happening there at FRC ignites courage in all of us, so thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Be blessed. Nicole Tice, President and Executive Director of the Delaware Family Policy Council. Well, I want to hear from you now. 866-372-7234. I was just having this conversation this morning. You know, sometimes being in the battle, being in the fight is weary. It wears you down. And how important it is to hang out with like-minded folks. And that's not to say that you're not open with being around other people that disagree or have different worldview than you do. I think it's important that we're able to do that and have civil conversations. But this battle has gotten so intense. You know, here on D-Day, when we're remembering our men and women who fought for us, who died for us in a horrific war, and here we're got people that want kids to be able to determine their own gender and their own race, and it's just it's crazy making. Am I different Am I the only one? It's just crazy making. And it makes me wonder about our generations and where we have come from. You know, I recall growing up as a kid where the streetlights outside were my time frame of when it was time to go inside. I remember getting drinks of water from the hose outside. I remember playing in the dirt, riding bikes in a time where these kinds of issues weren't the norm. And the drama wasn't a part of my life. I had drama with my mom, but not this kind of other drama that comes from the culture in telling me that it's okay if I want to be a girl or whatnot as a guy. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And it's these sorts of stories that we bring you. It doesn't bring me joy to bring you this kind of story, but it's part of being strong and part of being disciplined in the faith to say, folks, you need to know what's going on, and you need to know that there are people like Nicole and the Delaware Family Policy Council that are standing strong. And I can tell you, she's been under attack. That organization has been under attack. The left is highly organized, but you know what? We've got our own tools on biblical truth. And it's time for us to stop saying, oh, you know what? I just don't want to talk about religion and politics. It has no place in conversation. Yeah. You know what? You hear these stories, and we need to be equipped. We need to have the word in our hearts. We need to be able to have these kind of conversations and to come alongside people like Nicole and to give people our support. Let's go to AD in Missouri. How you doing there? Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, I've been listening to your program, and you know, somebody who's been a parent, obviously, it's concerning. It seems like we need to get legislation passed that delays the statute of limitations for suing a school district. I'm thinking, you know, you read these stories about kids that go through this and then change their minds, and you know, and try and go through the medical repairs and things like that. This is a really, really profound medical procedure and a really profound psychological procedure. Even if they don't have surgery, the impact of the hormones and the medicines are really, really have strong effects on people from what people who've gone through it report. And so I'm thinking in states, we need to pass legislation where a student has a right to hold the school district liable and sue them just like they would a doctor, anybody else performing that kind of professional service or counseling, just to provide some kind of outlet or valve. It sounds like the parents are being blocked out of it.
Yep.
The student needs some kind of recourse for the damage.
Yeah, absolutely. All good points there. Appreciate you calling. And it's just maddening to know that there are these people out there impacting our young people, changing their lives forever with these grand experiments. Let's go to Linda. Hi, Linda. How you doing? Welcome to Washington Watch. Hi, Linda.
Yes.
Where are you calling from, Linda?
Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, when you talk with doctors, you know, they tell you that the frontal lobe, which is your reasoning lobe, is not even developed until you're between 23 and 25 years old. So how is it that we get around to allowing children to make decisions such as gender and race at such young, tender ages? And how is it they get around influencing kids like they are in the schools and so forth when they're not even developed enough to make those decisions? How do they get by with that? I just don't understand it.
Well, in great part, I think we've allowed our voices to be silent. We haven't run for school boards. We haven't been involved. We've turned our kids over. I don't want to be too hard on us, Christians, but that mentality of, oh, I don't want to mix religion and politics and whatnot has been pervasive. And now here we are, and the left has taken over and made their agenda the agenda in our public schools. I don't know if you were listening on Friday. We were talking about homeschooling, and the phones lit up. The phones lit up, and I think that's where we are. And now the fight's even more difficult to get it back. Linda, thanks for calling. Let's go to Dana in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Dana. Hi, Dana.
Hi.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, actually, I talked to you on Friday as well. I have niece and a nephew that just this year asked their parents to pull them out of school, and we live in rural Missouri. The niece is very uncomfortable because all of the gender confusion, and the nephew said the things that they're talking, he said he doesn't even want to hear. It makes him sick to his stomach and uncomfortable. And they're both in high school. So it's like they don't even want to hear it.
Right. Yeah, well, I can't imagine the tensions that it's creating in our kids and what's going on with their students just in the conversations I have with young people around me, I know that they are hearing this stuff everywhere they turn. Let's go to Mike in Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, I was getting a little static on my cell phone when I'm at work. That's why I was wondering. Yeah, I was calling in regard to your comment earlier about the situation in Delaware and the school and the people trying to
You there, Mike?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we're about out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, if I was in Delaware and I was one of those parents, what I would do, I would get some of the other parents together, and I think I would pursue a lawsuit against the school because, you know, schools are supposed to be teaching academics. They're not supposed to be teaching social reengineering. And like the other commenter said earlier, a five-year-old, even a 12-year-old, they're not mature enough to make that decision on their own to begin with. You know, anything concerning gender, you know. So
right.
That's my comment. I think people need to start standing for the rights. They need to band together, maybe a class action lawsuit, because sometimes it seems like people like that, that's the only thing they understand, you know.
Right. Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you calling. And let's go to Matt real quick. You've just got a few seconds. We're about out of time. You don't agree.
No, sir.
How so? Quickly, you got to make your argument quick.
I've taught in three different states. I've taught in very urban centers. I've taught in suburban centers. I've taught in three different countries. I think you're really just doing your audience a disservice and fixating on this. This is one of the big education issues. From my viewpoint, after teaching so long in public schools, I mean, we don't have funding for, you know, textbooks. You know, we don't have funding for teachers and appropriate class sizes. And I think you would be best served talking about those issues instead of something that is an absolute fringe issue, if it even manifests itself at all.
Well, I appreciate your input there, Matt. We're out of time here today. I would differ with you. This is not a fringe issue. We hear it every single week from a different state, different school across the country, and we highlight them here today. It would be nice to focus on books and teacher salaries, but there's a lot of money being spent on the great social agenda. Well, it's been a pleasure to be with you here today on Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, I will see you again tomorrow. And I leave you with this from 2 Corinthians. Praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God.
You've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.